The economy and industry is now more complicated, more technical. You really do need more people who go to university. And the old selective system was not good enough. So today, almost all of the state schools are comprehensive schools. En français, on dit le collège unique. Comprehensive schools. A comprehensive school, a very simple idea. Everybody in the same part of town goes to the same school. One school for everybody. This is the comprehensive school. Now, because it is England, there continue to be a few grammar schools. The system was not eliminated everywhere, but in 90% of the parts of England and Wales, the grammar schools were eliminated. Now, the grammar schools were eliminated by the Labour government, par le Parti Travailliste. On peut se calmer un petit peu là au milieu, s'il vous plaît. Si vous voulez aller prendre un café, il n'y a aucun problème. Merci. Okay, traditionally, the Conservative Party supported the continuation of grammar schools. And the Conservative Party changed their policy only in 2007. So that's interesting. In 1965, the grammar schools disappeared, and for 40 years, the Conservative Party said, we need to go back to the old selective system. But now they have abandoned it. The comprehensive schools were extremely popular. Especially working class people did not like this strict selection at 11 years old. It was not popular. Ça, c'est le programme national de l'éducation anglaise. Okay, now the introduction of the comprehensive school, le Collège Unique, was very controversial. There were many books, like this one, to debate why it is a good idea. And other books were published which said, no, it's a bad idea. It was a big national debate. What kind of school do we want? And here you have a typical comprehensive school. What you can see from this school is interesting. You can see the fields. Il est très typique d'avoir de grands terrains de sport attachés au collège universitaire. Sport is extremely important in British education. And so if you don't like sport, you had to be very intelligent to avoid sport, like me. When I was at school, it was obligatory to play rugby. John, why didn't you stop him? Because he's three times bigger than me? Yeah. It was very difficult. This is a private school in Cambridge. Votre collège, ça ressemble plus à celle-là, celui-là ou celui-là. This is a private school in Cambridge, the Lay School. And just to give you an idea, the fees are £16,000 a year. 18 000 euros par an. You can see there is a chapel. It is a religious school. This is not surprising. All schools in Britain teach religion. All schools. Private schools, state schools, all the schools teach religion. So this is... This is an important difference, of course, with French schools. In French state schools, there is no religion. very, very strict against religion. In English schools, all of the schools teach religion. Now, this is a little complicated because, of course, today in England, like in France, if you have 1,000 children in your school, some are religious, a lot of them are not religious. Nevertheless, very often in the schools in England, they will teach about religion. So for 3 months you learn about Sikhism, and then for 3 months you learn about Islam, and then for 3 months you learn about another religion. It's relatively successful, I think. Thank you. Okay, right. There are 2,500 private schools in Britain, and the most expensive and the most prestigious we call public schools. You may have heard of Eton. Eton's in Crucial Ever. Rugby, we say no, I think I want this, Sejour Intéressant, the rugby. Winchester, Harrow. Now, private schools contain only 7% of British children, but if you look at the British young people at university, 25% went to private schools. This means that if you go to a private school with a lot of money, it is much easier to go to university. Much easier to go to university. There is another problem I will see in a moment, that is that universities today are actually quite expensive. Tuition fees in private schools, okay, so I have tuition fees, are between £9,000 and £20,000 a year. A lot of money. And finally, one rather controversial fact, many private schools do not pay taxes. Ils ne payent pas des impôts, beaucoup des écoles privées. Ce sont des entreprises spéciales qui ne payent pas des impôts. This is very controversial because some people think, you know, that they should not have this special position. There you have the photographs of Eton and Harrow. If you want your children to go to Eton or Harrow, you must buy lottery tickets every week and cross your fingers. Of course, they are playing cricket. Cricket, an extremely popular sport in Britain. It's not a bourgeois sport in Britain, it's everybody. And some more secondary schools, very ordinary looking secondary schools today. Okay, arrêtez les conversations parce que je travaille moi. Oui, c'est vraiment beaucoup plus facile si vous vous taisez. Hein? Alors je sais que vous êtes nombreux et loin, mais c'est pas une raison. Now, something very new information about the education. And that is, there was a big change a few years ago, and for 3 years there was no Department of Education. Il n'y avait plus de ministère de l'éducation. And instead, they had two departments. One of them, the Department for Children, Schools and Families. Now, remember, words are very important. It's not an accident that they called it the Department for Children, Schools and Families. It's a much more traditionalist name than Department of Education. The government often says that they want the families to have more influence in the schools. This is another big difference than in France. In France, if you are a parent, you go to the school, you say, excuse me, I have an opinion, a little opinion. Whereas in England, in theory, the parents can have a big influence, not always a good influence, but a big influence. And the universities were not organized by the Department of Education, they were organized by the Department of Business, Innovation and Skills. Again, the political meaning is very clear. Si le gouvernement annonçait en France que toutes les universités vont être sous le ministère de l'entreprise et de l'innovation, on saurait pourquoi ils ont changé. Okay, so the big change there. Now, skills is an interesting word. The idea of skills is very different from knowledge. Skills is how to drive a car, how to manage a company, how to sell things. It's economic, practical things you can do. Whereas knowledge is much wider. So when they say we want the universities to be organized by the Department of Business, Innovation and Skills, they are saying that they want universities to be very close to business. They don't want a lot of money spent on history and philosophy. They want to spend a lot of money on management and business and science and technology. And this has been a big tension in Britain. However, just last year, only 1 year ago, they decided, the new government, the new Conservative and Liberal government, changed this system and established again the Department for Education. Yeah. So this was an experiment. Well, let's have a business and a children's department. And now we have the Department of Education again. But the universities are still organized by the Secretary of State for Business, Innovation and Skills. Yeah, skills, parfois on traduit compétences, c'est pas exactement ça, mais c'est pas loin. Vous voyez que c'est une idée très précise. Okay, now, just a little bit of vocabulary. Higher education is universities. Yeah, it is education which you normally begin when you are 18 or 19 and you continue for 2 or 3 or 5 years. Adult education is all kinds of education for people who are 25 or 35 or 45 or 55, all different ages. Adult education is very important in Britain, very big sector. In France, a lot of adult education is organized by the universities, but in England it is not. There are many different kinds of adult education colleges. No, it's normally free. It's normally free. Or almost free. Yeah, adult education, yeah. My father likes adult education. 1 year he did philosophy, and then the next year motor mechanics, and then the next year French. Every year he did something different. He was like that. Just a couple of publications from the Department of Children, Schools and Families and the education thing. Different publications to inform people about different problems. You have the word here, which is a difficult word to translate, bullying. Bullying, an important word, bullying. B-U-N-E-T. ING. Et on en parle beaucoup dans la presse anglaise. On n'a pas un mot exact qui traduit ça. Ça fait penser un peu aux rackets. Au collège, on parle des problèmes de rackets. Okay. Mais rackets, c'est plus précis que bullying. Bullying, c'est n'importe quel type d'agressivité ou d'agression envers les plus faibles. Donc, c'est plus général. Donc, effectivement, ça peut être casser la gueule aux petits ou les bousculer, les racketter, tous les divertissements de l'adolescence. Okay, so bullying, an important word. And of course, in this case, of gay people. So, je suis revenu à aujourd'hui, mais maintenant je remonte un peu. Les derniers 30 ans, from Thatcher to Brown, there were some important changes. First of all, rather surprising for French people, until 1988, there was no national curriculum. Il n'y avait pas de programme national. This is not surprising in England. Most things in England are regional. It's a very regional country. There was no national curriculum. In different schools, you had different subjects. In different regions, you had different subjects. Everybody did education. Everybody did religion. And of course, almost every school did math and mathematics and English because it was necessary. But otherwise, there was a lot of variety. You also have a lot of variety in teaching. Let me take the example of history. If you look at history classes in secondary schools in France, they are very similar in different towns. In England, they are very different. You could go to one school, and it's very traditional. Open your book, page 15. Read the first paragraph about the First World War. Very traditional method. In another school, you go into the history lesson, and there are no pupils because they have gone to the old people's home to interview the old people about the Second World War. So something very typical about British education is it's extremely varied. There is very traditional schools and very modern schools, all in the same town sometimes. C'est la méthode anglaise, chacun fait son truc. Really, it's very typical. So, yes?
Non, j'ai pas dit ça, en fait, vous avez pas compris. J'ai dit que les méthodes pour enseigner l'histoire sont très variées. Ça peut être très traditionnel, ou vous allez dans une autre école et vous allez trouver que les enseignants ont envoyé les élèves à interviewer les personnes dans la maison prochaine pour faire l'histoire de ce point de vue-là. Yes, so methods very varied.
So, in the Education Act of 1988, the Conservative government introduced a national curriculum. Again, something rather unusual. In France, the idea of a national program is generally a left idea. And in England, it was a Conservative government that introduces the national program. Something rather unusual. The other thing which has changed over the last 30 years is there are far more tests. The Conservative government in the 1980s and the Labour government in the 1990s introduced many new tests. National tests at the age of 7 years old. At the age of seven, a test of every child in the country on mathematics and English. These tests were not popular with the teachers, and it took a few years, and there were many strikes, but eventually the government imposed these tests. So you have a national test at the age of 7, 11, 14, and 16. The other big change introduced in the 1980s is the league table. And what is a league table? It's like football. You know, in football you have a league table, who is the best team, who is the second best team. And in Britain now, in every town, there is a league table. In Britain now, in every town, there is a league table. The best school has 100 marks, the second best school, the third best school. Why? Well, the government, the Conservative government, and then the new Labour government, thought competition between schools is a good thing. Yeah? And so the idea is to have competition between schools. And parents should choose the best school. It's very controversial. The government said, if the parents have more information about the schools, they have more freedom to choose. And the left wing said, no. If some schools are much better than others, the middle class will find the best schools. Because the middle class has more money, they can move out. The middle class understands the system better. They can, you know, they know how to work the system. So it's not fair. So there was a big debate. Is it a good thing for parents to have more choice of different schools, looking which is the best school in the town for my child? Or is it a better thing for everybody to go to the same schools? It's a political debate. Yeah, you can have the opinion you want. And finally, at the bottom there, you have the official objective, written by the government, the official objective. Stay with us, please. Thank you. The official objective. Ma famille, elle se dit qu'on m'a terminé, c'est très similaire. The official objective of English schools is here to promote pupils' spiritual, moral, social, and cultural developments and prepare all pupils for the opportunities, responsibilities, and experiences of life. Okay, life. Every word is very important. Notice the first objective, spiritual development. Ça, on ne verrait pas dans le document du ministère de l'Éducation en France. Ça fait un peu religieux quand même, le développement spirituel des enfants, ok? Moral. You must make moral. Un document similaire en France, il parlerait de citoyenneté et des choses comme ça. It's very English. Spiritual, moral, social and cultural development. And to prepare all pupils for the opportunities, responsibilities, and experiences of life. Okay, that's the official. That's the official objective of British education. So, what about examinations? Well, it's very, very different from in France. In France, the most important thing is the baccalauréat. And the baccalauréat is yes or no. Yes, you have the baccalauréat, or no, you don't have the baccalauréat. There is no system like this in Britain. In Britain, you get a separate mark for every subject. That there is no baccalauréat, yes or no. You get a separate mark for every subject. So, it's possible, if you say, I love French and Spanish and literature, I detest mathematics, then you stop mathematics and you have a certificate that says this man is very good at Spanish, French and literature. What are the advantages and the disadvantages? The advantages are if you hate maths, you don't need to do any maths. The disadvantages is that you don't have a general education for everybody. So, it is rather flexible. When you are 16, you take the GCSE, the General Certificate of Secondary Education, and you take GCSE Mathematics, GCSE French, GCSE Physics, GCSE Chemistry. There are many, many possibilities. If you find school rather difficult, you might take 3 or 4 GCSEs. If school is easy for you, you might take 10 GCSEs. 10 is about the many people take 10, but 10 is about the maximum. So it is a kind of flexible system, but it means that not everybody gets the same education. The advantage of the baccalauréat is on laisse pas tomber les gens, s'ils ont du mal, non classique en tout cas. Okay. 2 years later, you take the A levels. Alors, je crois que le bac en général on a 17 ans, non, on va pas ce bac. Ici plutôt. Okay, but en Angleterre, il y a 16 ans, il y a 18 ans. So 2 years later, you take General Certificate of Education at Advanced Level on the A level. And in these 2 years, between 16 years old and 18 years old, you specialise in 3 or 4 subjects. I did French, Spanish and English for 2 years. So that's the situation, and here they are, working hard. So a very different system, a sort of modular system. There is a lot of debate about this. Some people in England say we should have a baccalauréat like France, it's a better system. But les Anglais n'aiment pas tant que les choses sont meilleures en France, alors ils risquent pas de suivre la session. So in the 1990s, under New Labour, many of the reforms made by the Conservatives were maintained. But some new reforms were brought in, and the situation now is extremely different from in France. Here are 3 biggest changes over the last 20 years, Conservative and New Labour together. The first thing is there is much more competition between schools, much more. Competition to choose the pupils, competition to attract the parents, and competition to attract the best teachers. Because the system now is that a teacher is not recruited in France, like in France, by a national exam. No, no, no. The teacher is recruited by the headmaster. C'est le directeur d'école qui embauche les enseignants. So it's a system which is similar to a business. It's not a business because it's free education. The people do not pay, but the structure is similar to a business. When you talk to a teacher in England, they say, "Oh, I like my job, but I don't like my manager." The head of the school now is called a manager. And the headmaster can say, "Okay, I'm very happy with your work as mathematics teacher. I am going to give you a higher salary. Your work as a history teacher is not so great. Your salary is not going to rise." So you have a system in the schools which is parallel to business. It's not business because the pupils do not pay. But the managerial system is very strong now.
Et le directeur d'école peut donc aussi licencier.
Whereas in France, of course, fundamentally, if you are a teacher, like me, I do not have a manager. It is extremely difficult to sack me.
Je ne sais pas comment tu ferais pour me virer si vous voulez, c'est quasiment impossible. C'est bien, heureusement.
Okay, so that's the second big change. There is much more managerial power for individual headmasters.
No, arrêtez les conversations, s'il vous plaît. Mais vous n'êtes pas obligé de rester si vous voulez discuter. Vous pouvez aller ailleurs, il n'y a pas de problème. Mais bon, on va écouter, on va dire que ça marche. Je sais que c'est la fin de la journée. Mais vous m'emmerdez.
Okay, right. And the last thing is less power for local government. In the past, before these changes, local government, the municipality, and the regional government had a lot of power in schools, and today they don't. Okay, let's have a look at these changes. Some people think they are good, and some people think they are bad. In general, conservative people say these are good changes, because now the schools are organised in the same way as businesses, and businesses are better. That's the best way to organise things. And left-wing people say these are bad changes because the local government is elected in a democratic way and the managers, they are like private businesses, it's not very democratic. So there's a big debate, but in general, these changes have been gradually accepted.
Les enfants.
Here we have just one example of a league table. You can see the schools, and across the top, you have the marks they got. Alors, c'était très controversé parce que ça pas évident comment noter une école. La première colonne, combien de diplômes? How many orders? The second column is a special mark based on the kind of intake they have. Dans la deuxième colonne, on fait un article de notation qui prend en compte le quartier et le niveau d'éducation des parents, des gens qui envoient leurs enfants. Parce qu'effectivement, au début, ils comptaient simplement les diplômes. Et les gens, ils disaient, bon, écoutez, c'est normal qu'à Neuilly, ils aient plus de diplômes par tête qu'à Aubervilliers, parce qu'ils ont beaucoup plus de place à la maison, ils ont des parents beaucoup plus élevés, etc. Alors, ils ont inventé une nouvelle notation qui essaie de prendre ça en compte. So, back to today, on revient aujourd'hui. Je vais vous l'expliquer pendant 36 minutes. Alors, c'est des trucs de plaisir. There are now four kinds of schools. On parle des écoles secondaires, des collèges. There are four different kinds. It's a little complicated. First of all, there are still some community schools. These are controlled by the local governments. Secondly, we have voluntary controlled schools. C'est une expression un peu étrange, ça ne veut pas dire grand-chose, mais en fait, ça veut dire que le pouvoir est partagé entre le conseil d'administration et le gouvernement local, la municipalité. Very often, these are religious schools. I will talk about religious schools in a moment. In England, there are a lot of religious schools. Christian schools, Catholic schools, Jewish schools, Muslim schools, Sikh schools. But they are not equal, I will show you in a moment. Number three, voluntary aided schools. Again, this is another form of religion, normally organized by religious organizations, the Church of England and the Roman Catholic Church. They receive money from the government. All of these schools are state schools. I'm not talking about private schools. I'm talking about different categories of state schools. And finally, foundation schools, which are completely independent of the local government. They can be organized by businesses, they can be organized by churches, they can be organized by groups of parents.
Je vous donne encore une minute pour faire ça. Je vais finir avec un truc sur la religion. Vous allez être surpris. Essayez de deviner combien d'écoles chrétiennes, combien d'écoles musulmanes, combien d'écoles juives, combien d'écoles sikhs en Angleterre. Vous allez être surpris. Vous allez être surpris. Vous allez voir. Allez, on va voir.
There are 6,955 Christian faith schools in England. Ça fait à peu près 4000 protestants et 2300 catholiques. Et donc il y a donc presque 7000 écoles chrétiennes et 7 écoles musulmanes. C'est pas autant. On aurait dit qu'il y avait non, donc 7000 d'un côté, 7 de l'autre côté, on peut dire que voilà, il y a beaucoup quelque part. Bien sûr, il y a beaucoup plus de chrétiens que musulmans, mais quand même. Why? Well, the most important reason is that Muslims in Britain do not want separate schools. They want schools with everybody together. There is no significant demand for separate schools. Now, one of the reasons for this, of course, is that in English schools, you can be religious, you can wear religious signs if you wish, it's not a problem. So it's not the same situation as in France. There are 36 Jewish schools, c'est pas non plus des masses, 2 Sikh schools and 1 Hindu school. Okay, just the one. Okay. The Sikh religion is from India. You recognize the men because they have a turban. That's all I know about it. Here you have the symbol, of course, of the Christians, Muslim, Jewish, and this is a Sikh symbol. J'ai découvert avant-hier, un symbole Sikh. The Sikh religion is very interesting because it was established a few hundred years ago, and the reason they established a new religion was because they wanted equality between men and women, which is original for a religion, the Sikh religion. This is the teacher's trade union. Listen, I think that's enough for today. Thank you very much. Next week we will continue, but remember, in 2 weeks' time, it is the 1st of November, which is a bank holiday.